I want us to turn then to the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to read, first of all, from chapter number 8. And there is a gentleman by the name of Philip, and he takes the message of the gospel to Samaria. And verse number 5 of chapter number 8 says this: "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." In verse 12, you may want to note that it speaks this way: "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, in my Bible, we turn over a page. It may not be a turnover of a page for you, but in my Bible, we turn over a page and we again see Philip. And this time he's speaking to an individual who is making a journey from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. And he is reading in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. And he is reading about one who is indeed suffering, and one by whom the transgressions of many are dealt with. And we read when Philip joins him in verse number 35, it says this: "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Preached unto him Jesus. In the next chapter, we have Saul of Tarsus finding out that Jesus is Lord. And when we come over into chapter number 10, Peter is preaching to Cornelius. And in verse number 36, it says this: "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And we come down through those verses a little further to verse number 42, and we read this: "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's our reading from the Bible, the Word of God. And as always, we encourage you to take down the scriptures of truth and to read them for yourself. You know, we're just into January a few months, aren't we? And already we know about the subject of change. We live in a time when things seem to be changing all the time. Advice and regulations, it's always changing. And they used to tell us that there's two things certain in life, and that is death and taxes. Well, I think we could add change to that. Change seems to be an absolute certainty in life. And there are many reasons why things change. One of the reasons why things change is because we don't know what's ahead of us. We didn't know roughly 2 years ago that there was going to be a pandemic ahead of us. I suppose there were people who warned that it was possible, but for the most part, nobody anticipated that there would be a pandemic ahead of us. We can't see out into the future, into the unknown. And then there can be another reason why there's change, and that is because we make errors. We make mistakes. And because of that, things have to change. We have to take, as we sometimes say, corrective action because of errors, mistakes, and failures. And of course, not only can there be circumstances and things that change and information we don't have and errors and mistakes that we make, but there is also the real possibility that we don't have the ability to make things happen, and therefore we have to change. And so we are very conscious of the reality of change. Well, I am glad to say all of those things are taken out of the equation when we come to the wonderful message of the gospel. What is the gospel all about? Well, my dear friend, as we have read the scriptures of truth, what we discover is this: the gospel is all about a person. All about a person. That's a wonderful thing to contemplate and to consider this afternoon. That the good news is a person. The person of Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we are going to see that why, because of him, the message of the gospel that goes out today, January 2022, is the same message of the gospel that went out from the very beginning. Yes, many things change around about us, but the fundamentals of what we are dealing with in the message of the gospel are the same that has always been. You know, it's true that we have to change because of circumstances. But we look out ahead and we might have dreams, we might have ambitions, we might have things that we desire to do. And I suppose, you know, you think of the United States of America, and it's the place where they speak about the American dream, what they dream for, and what they look for so that they can fulfill their desires and ambition, and they dream of it. But the most of dreams are unfulfilled. They work hard, and that's what's behind it. You work hard and you'll be able to fill your dream. And yet there are many, and they've worked hard and they've never fulfilled their dreams. I suppose over here, we're a little bit more intelligent than our American cousins. And we say, well, opportunities come and go, so we'll just take a different philosophy. We'll not go with the American dream. We'll just go with the idea of the lucky country. That's a bit more easy. That's a little bit more convenient. But my point is this: the absolute uncertainty of everything that's before us. Well, you see, my dear friend, this afternoon, when it comes to hopes and dreams of earth, yes, they're fickle. But the hopes that are laid out in the Word of God, they're not fickle. They're absolutely sure and certain. They stand upon the promises of the God who cannot lie. And I want to think for a little while of the one who is the Christ, the one who is the promised one of God, the one in whom God has invested all his hopes for this world that we live in. The Christ of God, who is going to bring in all that God planned in this society. You see, my dear friend, understand and know that God set out in this world to have man in dominion in this world, in a world that was a place of blessing, a world that was resplendent with the glory of God, and man made in his image would be, as it were, the pinnacle of the display of the glory of God. And you and I, we look at this world today, and we say it's in a shambles. Well, my dear friend, I want to tell you, what God set out to do, he is going to achieve in the one who is his Christ. And on him rested all the promises of God. And it is in him that this world is going to know sublime blessing. And the desert, it'll blossom and it'll flourish. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. And there'll be nothing that'll hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain. And the righteousness of God will be known. And it will, as it were, cover this land as the sea is covered. And my dear friend, I want to tell you this evening, God is going to accomplish all that he set out to do and all that he promised he would achieve. And it rests in his Christ. Now, has God a track record of keeping his promise? My dear friend, I want to tell you, he has exactly that. God has made promises concerning his servant, concerning the one who would not fail, concerning the one who was his anointed. And everything that God has set out to do in his son In the Christ of God, it's been fully accomplished. And we do not find in the Word of God promises that are left unaccomplished, save which that which God says is yet future. And if I look at the track record of Almighty God concerning his promises, they are sure and certain. See, my dear friend, what you put your hopes on in time may not happen at all. And for the most of us, what we dream of when we're young, it doesn't happen. It doesn't turn out the way we think. But my dear friend, everything that God has promised and everything that rests in his Christ, it's going to happen. You see, as Philip took the message of the Christ to these dear people, the Samaritans, who were so confused about him, he would preach the things of the kingdom of God. And it was in the Lord Jesus Christ that the fullness of the kingdom of God was brought near. And the fullness of the kingdom of God is seen. And the fullness of the kingdom of God will yet be seen. Because this world will know and see that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. So the first thing I want us to know and to understand why this message of the gospel is unchanging, because it rests on the promises, on the word of Almighty God. And that's important. But you see, my dear friend, we are not asking you to put your faith and confidence in religion. We're not asking you to put your faith and trust in what we say. But we are asking you and inviting you to put your faith and confidence in the word of the living God that has promised and proven the absolute reliability of his word. My dear friend, the word of God is absolutely true. And the one who brings to you hope, the one who can give you hope in the future, is God's Christ, the one in whom God has rested all his hopes for the future, is the same one that you can rest all your hopes upon for the future. The one who heals, the one who is going to transform this world, God's Christ. My dear friends, not only do we think about looking out into the future and what's unknown, and we have to change because the future is uncertain. And God, with him, the future is certain. There's no need for change in the promises of God because they are certain, because they rest in him. But we have thought and mentioned earlier how that for us, we have to change things because of error, because of failure, because of imperfections. I want us to think now about who Philip preached to this dear Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Jesus. What's the name Jesus mean? Well, fundamental and at its core is this: Savior. Savior. My dear friend, this afternoon, we want you to know that this message doesn't need to change because the Savior has done everything perfectly. No errors, no mistakes, no failures, no weak points, no, everything done perfectly. When we come to Isaiah 53, where this dear man was reading and where Philip began and to preach on to him Jesus, we get down to really the heart and the core of things to do with our salvation. And this message of good news, it is that Jesus is indeed the Savior. You know, when I think about that, and I think about the one who is the Savior, if I am going to have absolute confidence I need to be able to be sure that what the Savior is doing is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. That there's no points of failure. There's no points of weakness in what he is doing. Well, you see, my dear friend, when it comes to the matter of the provision of God's salvation, there's one thing for sure. The grubby hands of poor sinners doesn't have a single finger in it. I think that's wonderful. Sadly, there are many and they think they have to put their hand to the work of God. No. This is why it can be certain and sure, because God was at work. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You see, if it were left up to me to deal with that particular matter, I would miss many things. But God, it was God who laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And it was upon him, not him and me, but exclusively, totally, entirely upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, it was our transgressions that had to be dealt with. What I am as a sinner had to be dealt with. What I have done, my sins had to be dealt with. And it was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus the Savior, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us, the one who became a man that in his body on the tree, he might suffer for us. In a body God had prepared that he might suffer, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He became man that he might take man's place, bear the judgment that was due to me. My dear friend, I want to tell you, listen, please listen. Everything that he did perfectly. And what he did at Calvary's cross, he did in complete perfection. And because it's perfect and it's perfectly complete, there's a place that I can rest. And it's going to need no change because it's perfectly done. It's perfectly finished. It's going to need no change because of the one who accomplished it. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, my dear friends, this message of the gospel is unchanging because it doesn't need to change because of the perfection of what has been done. But you see, my friend, not only do we change because of what is unknown and uncertainty, and not only do we change because of error, but we change and have to change things because we don't have the ability. We don't have the power. We don't have the capacity to bring about the change. There are many, and they would love to have the capacity and the power to change the situation concerning COVID. And there are many across this globe of brilliant minds that have sought to apply themselves to this very issue. And they've put in intense hours upon hours in trying to help with the matter of COVID, but none of us have the power to address these issues in their totality. Thank God for what help we have experienced and help we do know. My dear friend, it gives me great joy to point out to you who Jesus Christ is. What Peter told Cornelius, he is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. Absolutely supreme. Without a rival. He's Lord of all. Now, I was thinking just a few weeks ago, but that little expression that speaks about being a little lower than angels. Man. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, a little lower than angels. We look at what we are as men, as women, as humanity. And I tell you, I wouldn't for one second describe myself as a little lower than angels. The distance between God and men is ours, between angels and men is vast. Men reel when they come into contact with angelic power. They are mighty beings. But you see, from God's perspective, that distance is a lot smaller, because God is so vastly superior to all of created beings. What a stoop the Savior took when he became flesh, dwelt among us. But it did not change who he was. Jesus Christ, the Lord. He is Lord of all. You see, my dear friend, he has the power. He has the ability to work out this great salvation, to make it effective in the lives of men and women who put their trust in him. He has the almighty power to accomplish and to bring to fullness all, because he is Lord of all. My dear friend, there are some tonight, this afternoon, and they would consider salvation, and they would consider, how is it that I am going to get through life as a believer? I'd like to be saved, but I couldn't make my way through life as a believer. I know what I'm like. I just couldn't do it. Well, you'd be right. But there is one who is Lord of all, and he gives the power. It is him that gives the mighty ability to indeed have the victory, because he won the victory at Calvary's cross. He secured it all by the perfect work that he has done. My dear friend, I want to tell you that this great salvation, it needs to change not because of the one who offers it, the one who ensures it. He is Lord of all. See, my dear friend, this great salvation, it rests in Jesus Christ, the Lord. It's about a person. And we're asking you not to trust a series of facts, but to trust a person. There may be things that I struggle to get my head around and comprehend, but I trust him. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the counsels of God and the purposes of God that are going to be accomplished. And in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of the character of his person, the loving kindness of his grace, the richness of his grace, the absolute righteousness and holiness of his character, that he is not a respecter of persons, I understand he is one that I can trust. And when I come and see all of those things so beautifully displayed at Calvary's cross, I know here is one who is worthy of my trust. Tell me, have you trusted him? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Says you, but Brian, has the message not changed? Like, you know, we're different from what we were 100 years ago. We're different from what we were 1,000 years ago. Well, my dear friends, certainly there's a lot of things that are different about the environment that we live in and some of the activities that we do. But what hasn't changed is this. You're a sinner. Without your sins forgiven, you're going to face the consequence of that. And you're going out to hell. That was the same. That was the same back in the days of the apostles. sinners who needed saved, sinners who couldn't save themselves, sinners who couldn't take away one sin, never mind thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sins. Each an offense against God. Against God you have sinned. Against God I have sinned. That hasn't changed. The one who is the Savior hasn't changed. Yes, we may live in a different environment and things may slightly happen differently from years before, and yet the amazing thing, there's nothing new under the sun. I was speaking not so long ago to a young fellow in the house of Kevin, one of the believers in Devon Park. And that dear young fellow was trying to tell me about all his original thinking about, you know, his philosophy. There wasn't one bit of originality in it. It was all stuff that has been talked about for years and years and years. Same old problem. Man pressing on against God in his refusal to allow God to save. Poor sinners, not wanting to see the truth of God. Dwelling in darkness, not wanting the light. Well, my dear friend, here you are today. You're listening to the message of the gospel. I trust it's because you want to know the truth. The truth will set you free. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's in him. It's in a person that you will find everlasting life. You'll find this salvation. So, my dear friend, this message of the gospel, it's unchanging. It's unchanging because of the one who is that salvation. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the love that he displayed at Calvary's cross, still the love that would reach out to you today. And when the Lord Jesus Christ announced, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I almost feel the intensity of his invitation. My dear friend, the intensity of that invitation is the same today. He's still a savior of sinners. And there's lost ones that still need to be found. My dear friend, will you let him save you? To use the words of a hymn writer, will you surrender? Overcome by love divine, thee a savior and defender I accept, and I am thine. You will notice when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the invitation, he spoke of rest. You know, there's one thing about change. You don't get much rest because of change. Just when you think you have it sorted out, things change. You don't have rest. My dear friend, you can rest in this unchanged salvation that rests in an unchanging God. Yes, this world might be in turmoil, but God is still on the throne. He is Lord of all. And he will accomplish what he has set out to do at the very beginning. And yes, there will be a man on the throne, as he began to do in the Garden of Eden. There will be a nation that is blessed, as he began to do as he worked through Abraham and Israel. And there is a church that will be his bride. And he's going to complete that work with his church, and he's going to complete that work with the nation, and he's going to complete that work with a sovereign, a man upon the throne. And all the promises of God will be fulfilled. And here's the wonderful thing, because he's my Savior, I'm going to be part of those promises, part of the inheritance that God has through his Son. Do I deserve it? No. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Imagine an enemy of Christ, a sinner sinning with a high hand against God, for time content in sins. And yet, God in his loving kindness reaches out and he saves repentant sinners. He saves sinners who put their faith and trust in him, resting in him, depending upon him. Tell me, what is your hope? What is your future? Mine's with Christ. What's your hope and what's your future? Is your future hopeless? Is your future one of despair? Is your future one of the torments of hell for all eternity? Because you wouldn't trust the Savior, wouldn't trust the provision that he provided in all its perfection. My friend, don't waste the golden opportunity that you have now to rest in the almighty provision of God and know peace with God. Didn't we read of that? Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Oh yes, peace between peoples, but peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. Now, come unto him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Shall we pray?